It is a pity that the lectionary gives us such episodic treatment of the history of the matriarchs and patriarchs of Israel, as with yesterday and today's reading from the life of Jacob. Yes, it makes sense to contrast yesterday's reading of the angels ascending and descending with today's reading of Jacob's struggle with the angelic or divine being. But there is a context to today's reading which echoes a little bit with the gospel, and it bears exploring. Jacob is preparing to meet Esau for the first time in 20 years. Remember that he had cheated Esau out of his birthright, and the brothers had not departed on good terms. And now 20 years later, there is going to be this meeting. One can see that Jacob is very nervous about the meeting, because he sequesters his property in a safe place. And one notices how that property is described in terms of his wives, concubines, and children. It is simply a fact of the time that women and children are in the category of property, but please bear in mind I am describing and not prescribing. He sequestered his property because he expects the worst. And then this strange nocturnal episode happens. Jacob is struggling with himself. He is struggling with whether his brother will be his enemy when he meets him the next day. And in that struggle, it turns to a struggle with God himself. A struggle that brings insight. Jewish commentators are one with highlighting how many words and allusions there are to sight and insight in this particular passage and the following episode of the meeting between the two brothers. How much vision there is within all of this. And although Jacob can see God face to face, there is still the question of whether he can face his brother. The episode unfolds the next morning, and Jacob sees Esau and 400 men coming towards him. So even though he has had a vision of God, the first vision of his brother does not build any confidence within him. And then he discovers that he has found his brother. There is a reconciliation. Esau offers to journey with Jacob, and he also offers to journey at Jacob's pace, because we must remember that the encounter with divinity, the encounter with insight, has left him constrained physically, has left him limping. And Esau, in fraternal concern, care, and love, offers to journey with Jacob at his pace. So Jacob has an insight into God, but still does not have the full insight into his brother. That echoes the blindness we see recounted in today's gospel around Jesus' healing ministry, where the Pharisees, who do have insight into God, do not have the vision of Jesus, their brother, bringing God's healing. Rather, they question it. They are suspicious, as Jacob was suspicious about Esau, especially when he sees the 400 men accompanying him and Esau's intentions. The vision of God does not always mean that we see each other clearly. The correctness of our theology does not predicate the correctness of our anthropology, if I might be allowed to be a little bit pedantic and scholastic at this point. This is important in terms of what we face in general with modernity. We tend to be like Jacob, and we tend to be like the Pharisees, regarding everything with suspicion, regarding everything different to our vision of God with tremendous suspicion, and rightly, we also criticize what we find lacking. But what we lack then is a true and profound fraternal charity towards the people we regard, sometimes with suspicion, and sometimes incorrectly with suspicion, as Jacob incorrectly read Esau's presence and the 400 men coming at him in the first moments of that encounter, of that building encounter with his brother. We see that the Pharisees quickly criticize Jesus, but they have no affection or love for him. We see that they do have a love for God, but are not critical of their own vision, of their own insight. So when faced with the challenges of modernity and our own role as church and proclaimers of a true vision of God to the world, we need to be on guard in this area. Do we love what we criticize? And can we criticize what we love? We love the church, we love her teaching, but do we have the necessary critique and insight to shape her under God's guidance, under the presence of the Holy Spirit, under the dispensation of grace, to be an ever more vibrant witness to the truth of God, an ever more vibrant insight into the truth of God in the world? And do we love those we need to criticize? Is love the first attitude we have to those who differ from us, those in the life of modernity who may even have rejected, and sometimes they reject, the false image of God we can present when we are not critical enough of ourselves? Do we love them before we criticize them? Or do we criticize out of fear and lovelessness? That second, criticizing out of fear and lovelessness, out of a suspicion that all that modernity offers, everything it offers, is evil, is to sit within the attitude of the Pharisees and the attitude of Jacob. He knew God, but he did not know his brother. And sitting within that attitude just wounds the image of God that we are asked to present to the world, the insight into God that we are mandated by our baptism to present to the world, to proclaim to the world. It is from love that true criticism, a true critique of what is deficient, arises. And love can sometimes blind us to what needs to change, to what needs to develop, to what needs to be more open to God. If we simply stay within the criticism of modernity and the suspicion that there is more evil than good in the world, then we fall into the trap that the Albigensians and those like them stepped into, the trap Dominic tried to pull them out of, to see that the world, in all its variety, contains more of the goodness and presence of God, since the incarnation, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, than it does enmity against God. And with this insight, we can challenge those places where the light still needs to fall. But it must come from love. It must come from the recognition that we are family, the human family, whether baptized or whether not, the human family within the dispensation of God and God's kingdom, called to love and to see God face to face. Amen.